When words are repeated several times in passages of sacred scripture, they are meant for the reader or listener to pay very close attention to their meaning. If we do that today, we will be drawn in the prophet Ezekiel to eating a scroll containing God's words. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it is about children and entering the kingdom of heaven. There is a beautiful pattern here that is not at all that obvious at first. In a nutshell, heaven is the destiny of God's children. And secondly, the path to that destiny is a kind of humility and total receptivity, and also a wonderful sweetness. Discussion about the kingdom of heaven is so common in the Gospels, especially in Matthew, that we might be tempted to pass it by just a little bit casually. Combined with that, we live and breathe in a culture that has come to ridicule heaven, the idea of heaven, as an unscientific concept to which only a few religious people hold on to like a crutch. But a better way to approach heaven is that it is the salvation of God, offered as a free gift from the Creator of life, a path to return to intimacy with the one who seeks our true happiness and our joy, rather than as a prize given to the winner of a competition. We fall typically into the same trap as did the disciples. This particular conversation with Jesus today follows closely after Jesus made Peter the authoritative leader of the disciples and the rock foundation of his future church, and also the name of our parish. We can well imagine then that the rest wonder where they will fit in. Peter seems to have his status affirmed. What about us, they wonder? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Where will we fit in? Here is where Jesus provides some shocking, in a way, criteria for heaven. You must change. Who wants to change? Not me. I've spent my life crafting my identity the way it is. If I wanted to change, I would have already done it. Even if I know I need to change in some ways, change is really hard work. You must become like children. Well, children had a relatively low status in Israel. They spent their lives, as we do, moving away from childhood dependency and limits of knowledge and capacities. Who wants to go back there? But here's the key. It is a particular quality of childhood that is part of the kingdom of heaven. You must be humble, Jesus says. Well, I think you know that we do not promote a culture of humility in our time. From Adam and Eve, we want it all, and we want it our way. Humility means being engaged in a constant battle against that desire in us. Who wants heaven if that is the competition that you have to win? You must welcome those children who are part of the kingdom of heaven. So part of the path of salvation is recognizing and embracing those who have the heavenly qualities, those disciples who have embraced a life of profound, humble self-sacrifice. But there is really no way to do that unless we embrace the path of humility ourselves. Otherwise, we will just simply become jealous, as the disciples seem to be doing. This path is exactly what God's message to Ezekiel was for the people of Israel. The prophet was asked by God in a profound vision to experience directly what he wants all of the people, including us today, to get, so that they will understand it as authentically from God when Ezekiel speaks it to them. So the words from this passage today, "Mortal, do not be rebellious." Doing your own thing is a rebellion against God's plan for individuals and for all humanity. Remember that you are mortal. You will die physically regardless. But in your rebellion, you will also die spiritually. Open your mouth and eat what I will give you, in the vision God says to Ezekiel. I grew up with the absolute rule, maybe some of the young people here today had the same rule, that there was no dessert until I had eaten the main course, no matter how much I may not have liked it, and that happened. But obedience was key to receiving the sweetness of dessert. Again, to Ezekiel, God says, I ate the scroll. To eat God's words, chew on them, and fill my stomach with them, digest them, is to take to heart God himself, to receive willingly and obediently the message of salvation. The one who does that humbly, or in Jesus' image, like a child, will find the taste like the sweetest and most pleasant of all things, like honey. All throughout the Old Testament, including in today's Psalms, we hear these same similar kinds of words about God's word and receiving obediently what God has to say. The climactic words in today's Psalm, the law of your mouth is better to me than gold. With open mouth, I long for your commandments as the sweetness of honey. What a great model of heavenly beauty and childlike humility is St. Clare, whom we celebrate today, the sister of St. Francis. She meditated deeply on the humility of Jesus Christ himself, who came as a little child to show the world this quality of the kingdom of heaven, which is really just Christ himself. And in this beautiful image, just one image from St. Clare, she suggests looking at Christ as in a mirror, to see his poverty of spirit and to receive it into ourselves as if it was our own image. Do you find God's word as a treasure and sweet? That's what we are invited to do today. And the more we treasure God, the more we will treasure his word. And the more we read his word, the more we will fall in love with God. Deepening reverence and love for both will be ours. Heaven is the result of obedience, of receptivity, and of humility. And so may we think of God's word as sweet as honey today. Reception of Jesus today in the Holy Eucharist, for the first time for these three young people, physically or spiritually, is intended by God and offered by the church as the sweetness of his presence, not just in our mouths and stomachs, but in the very core of our being. Shall we ask St. Clare today to help us look deeply into the sweetness of Christ and consume it as a child?